Good morning. Good morning.
You know, before I came up here, Zoom, I asked if I was nervous. I'm like, nah, I'm not. Like standing up here is so much different. I'm right? So Scott asked about the preparation of this lesson. I mean, it's not really necessary, but I'm going to share it. So I did this lesson like 3 years ago. This was one of my first lessons. I think doing it now, reading over it, I tweaked some stuff today. In how I felt personally, in how this year has been. So we'll get right into it.
Amen.
So we're at that stage in the year when people usually self-reflect, you know.
Right, that's right.
Probably in the next 2 weeks, a couple of days, we will be self-reflecting on, you know, how was the year, what we did right, what we did wrong, did we accomplish our resolutions, did we grow in any way, shape, or form, or did we get worse?
Right.
Right, and I think I started my reflection like a few days ago, where I've been looking back on the past year. I think it, looking back on this year, I can't say without a doubt, it has been probably one of the worst years of my life. I felt like this year I truly experienced life, from underperforming dramatically in track and field to losing the motivation to even do it. Then, of course, in the summer, I lost over 50% of my scholarship, and then left with a short amount of time to figure out how will I pay this. You know? I think looking back on it, especially in the spring semester, I've never been that depressed in my life. It got to a point where I felt like, why go to practice if you're not getting better? Like, I really felt like something that I looked on as a therapy for me in track and field became a burden. And if it's one thing that life has taught me since you know, being here on earth, is that we'll always have problems.
That's right.
I think something that, you know, I don't know if Jamaicans alone say this, but they always say, we're always facing problems. You're either in a problem, you're either coming out of a problem, or you're getting ready to go into one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do we maintain a life that is Christ-like while navigating our problems? Mm-hmm. How do we face trials and tests for situations out of our control?
Right.
Today we're going to read about a lady that felt this uphill task. We are going to see how she dealt with it.
Okay.
We're going to look on Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Before that, let's go to God first.
All right.
Most righteous and eternal Father, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to speak. I pray that as I speak, that you will come strictly from me. I pray that congregation is convicted and we left feeling not the same that we feel. We left feeling encouraged after looking at and what Hannah did, Father, to change her situation, and I pray that as I speak, you will remove all nervousness, Father, and you will allow me to speak freely.
Amen.
God, we love you, we thank you. Your son, trust me, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So Hannah chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. It reads, so there was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elu, the son of Toho, the son of Zuk, his names, and Ziphronai. He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Penina. Penina had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and
Phineas.
Phineas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all his sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord has closed her womb. Right? And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. We can't stop right there. It's stated in verse 4 that Peninnah got portions of meat from her husband. However, Hannah got double the portion. Right? Now, call it what you may. I think Peninnah was a bit jealous, right? She might have been thinking that Hannah is getting more than her, which she is, and she can't even have children, right? I have more than one child for this man, right? And you're giving me the regular regular. This lady that can't have children, you're giving double portion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think back in those times, we have to think about the traditions. Mm-hmm. Like the main purpose of a woman back then was to have children. Mm-hmm. So if you can't perform your role, it's almost like somebody doing, you're in a job or you're at work and you're doing all the work and somebody just come and they're like, oh gosh, this sorrowful person, and they get promoted. And you're like, well, I'm over here doing all the work.
Right.
Right.
And so we can understand where Peninnah is coming from.
Right.
I too can relate to being jealous. I have a smaller brother that so-called people say he's cuter than me, like he's more attractive than me. And growing up, like that scar you as a kid, because you're like nobody finds me like this cute little child. People always go to him, even my classmates, right? Obviously I got over that, so but from that, I think Peninnah was trying to discourage Hannah. And so she provoked her, right? No, Hannah had a problem. As we talked back in those days, the main role of a woman was to produce children. No, Hannah couldn't have children because the Lord closed their womb.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly think it was because of her being provoked why she felt this way. Have you ever been provoked?
Mm.
How did it make you feel? These are rhetorical questions, of course. How about being provoked over a matter that you were not able to change?
Mm.
And I was being provoked, and the Bible said it happened year after year. Right? So Elkanah had two wives, just a summary, who had two sons. Who had sons and daughters, and Hannah, who had no children, because the Bible said that they were closed her womb. The man of her rival provoked her until she wept and did not want to eat. One could imagine how Hannah is feeling like now. She's in a situation she had no control over, and she's being provoked. That's like committing a crime or going to jail for not committing a crime.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I can relate to, because in high school, I had teammates that they would provoke me for being Christian from time to time. Most of the time, all they talk about was sex and music, right? I didn't listen to the type of music they listened to. And I didn't talk about girls that they did. Because of that, they felt the need to, you know, provoke me. And so they gave me this name. At the time, I was the team captain of my high school. So you'd think, you know, that the captain would have some form of respect. Not so. Right? I felt like that role was, getting the team captain was basically a safe call rather than, you know, they saying you deserve this role. And so they gave me this name, they called me Killjoy.
Mm.
Right? Then they said, because they said every time I come around them, I kill their joy. Mm-hmm. And of course, I didn't like the name. I think it led to a lot of, you know, painful situation emotionally. It left me feeling like I wasn't enough, like I couldn't get along with my peers.
Mm-hmm.
I think I even questioned, you know, why did I become a Christian so early in high school. And so we do feel like we are being provoked at times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Let's continue in verse 7. So this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Hannah's husband was trying to encourage her, but even that did not make her feel any better.
Mm-hmm.
I think nothing could stop that anguish and the pain at that time that she was feeling. I can definitely relate to Hannah. I think last season, when I shared what happened at the track meets to people, and they're like, people would come and they're like, "You'll get him next time." And while it's encouraging to hear that, it felt like that couldn't cheer me up, because mm-hmm. if you're not improving as an athlete, if you're not getting better, then what's the sense? At the time, I felt like track and field was the purpose. This was what brought me to college. And so I feel like if I wasn't performing, if I wasn't putting up the distance and the numbers that the others were, I felt like I wasn't fulfilling my purpose. I felt like a disappointment.
Right.
And I definitely felt like I wasn't enough.
Right,
you know,
right.
I felt like I was in a situation. Sometimes we pass the coaches on the bus. And sometimes, like, when I came off the bus, I felt like they were talking about me in this negative light.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it was hard. It was really hard. I felt like I was being tolerated.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we go to eat, they kind of cut back on what you eat, because you're like, "Yeah, I don't feel like I deserve to even order this thing because I haven't been performing."
Mm-hmm.
And so we can see where Hannah is coming from, where her main purpose is to have a child, right? And because the Lord closed her womb, she can't. But constantly being provoked year after year, but this would cause some form of anguish and pain. And I think when we're faced with these problems, what do we do?
Right.
I know for me, last season, I didn't always turn to God. I didn't always, like, I tried to find it in hanging out with friends, and going to social events, but none of that couldn't really help, right? So we're going to take a look on what Hannah did, and I think it started in verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 1.
Come on, David.
"Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, 'O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, and I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.' As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, 'How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine.' 'Not so, my Lord,' Hannah replied. 'I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine nor beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord.'" Right? Hannah took it before God.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah went to God in prayer. I think prayer is probably the most powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what keeps us connected to God. You know, he speaks to us through his word, the Bible, we reply with prayer. I think Donald asked in the communion, "Who's our prayer like?"
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who do we turn to when you're in a difficult situation? I know for me, I turn to worry and anxiety. I remember when I was doing So in Jamaica, we have a regional exam called CXC, right? You know, this exam basically, it's like SAT, right? It helps you to, you know, I wouldn't say help you, but that dictates where you go to college and what you can study in the college. And so being at that time, I was the head boy, I don't know if you know what that was. So I was like probably the SGA president of my high school, right? And so a lot of pressure was being put on that person because, you know, you have to excel in a class. You have to excel in your extracurricular activities to be that role model for other persons to really say, yo, that is somebody I can look up to. And you can't really consider yourself as a role model if you don't pass the subjects, right? So back then I took 8 subjects. And I think after taking a subject, you know, the teachers always talk about, you know, putting the word no so that you don't have to worry this, that, and the third. And I think after most of us got subjects, that's when the worrying started. And it is so bizarre because you can't do anything after that. Like, you can't go and retake the test. You don't remember what you put on the paper. But it's almost like that's where you start to panic. That's where you say, you know, did I study enough? Did I put in enough work so that I can pass? I think at that time I was being linked to the high school that I was the team captain for. And that was based on, like, the only way I would get into that school was if I pass the subjects. And I went through a period of worrying. Like, I wouldn't eat, I wouldn't sleep. Anxiety took over, right? And I went in this depressive mode again. Where I felt like, you know, this is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, I passed all my subjects and I went to the school. So
right.
I think when I saw that, it was almost like a burden, like this word got taken off my, you know, off my shoulder. And it was all because of God, right? But the only time that I say this to people, this was probably the most, back then, the most I've prayed. I've never prayed so much, right? But I had to understand who I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm.
I think oftentimes, even Christians, we treat God like a genie.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Jen. I will make a wish.
Right?
Yep. It is not so with God. Right? I want to be poor. I want to be able to pour my soul to God like Hannah did. Right? Like Jesus did. If we look on Jesus' prayer life, he was always passionate about his prayers.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that he was always doing. And every time we see Jesus praying, he was praying with passion. Looking Luke 3 verse 1 at his baptism, that he was praying, the heavens was open. Passionate prayer opened heaven.
Mm-hmm.
In Luke 6 verse 12, before he called his disciples, he spent the whole night in prayer. Passionate prayer gives direction.
Mm-hmm.
In Luke 9 verse 29, at his transfiguration, and while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different. And his clothing became white and clean. Passionate prayer enables us to experience the glory of the Father.
Amen.
In John chapter 17, in his high priestly prayers, passionate prayer impacts the life of others.
Mm-hmm.
And in Matthew 26, verse 39, in the Garden of Gethsemane, it is only through passionate prayer that we can pour out our hearts to God.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah prayed with passion. And I expressed how she truly felt.
Amen.
But she knew who God was and had no doubt that he would deliver her. And I think it is okay for us to fully express how we feel.
Yes.
And what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's why I love Psalm 73 so much. And if you can turn there, Psalm 73. It reads, surely God is good to Israel, but those who are fearing, to those who are fearing God, But as for me, my feet have almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant for myself, the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggle. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human guilt. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They close themselves in violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceit of their mind knows no limit. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of their herd. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like. Always carefully, they increase in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. Right, and we can stop there. But the part I touched on, he said, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. Right, and I can relate to this guy. I can relate to him because in high school, I wasn't the prominent figure in high school coming up, coming into college. Like, I made a few finals in my years, but you had guys that they were making the national team, the junior teams. They were flying up, they were performing. Right? And mm-hmm. I always said, God, like, I am your servant. Why am I not prospering? Like, why do I feel like, you know, I'm not enough? And why do I feel like I'm a disappointment?
Right.
And I think I am learning nowadays to pray with complete transparency,
mm-hmm.
knowing that this is what God wants, even as bad as it might sound.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In our prayers, we need to start pouring out our souls like Hannah did. Because we serve a great God.
That's right.
We serve a God that when he talks and snaps, like him on the earth, he only spoke things in place. And that's the God that Hannah served. And it's the same God we're serving today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So in our problems that seem out of our control, take it to God. Take it to him in prayer. In verse 17 of 1 Samuel chapter 1 reads, Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Mm-hmm. After Hannah prayed, she left it in God's hands.
Amen. That's right.
The Bible said after eating something, she was no longer downcast. Not only did she take it to God, but she left it there. She could have easily mm-hmm. still been downcast after she prayed.
Mm-hmm.
But Hannah had complete confidence in God that he would deliver her. The Bible did not mention any signs of her doubting. And I think this is the heart that we need to have.
Amen.
To take things to God.
That's right. Praise God.
But when we say we leave it in God's hand, like we mean it and
yeah.
trust that. I mean, it is easier said than done, mm. especially living in a world where we like to see things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so if we don't see how, like if I don't see how my school pay or the bills are going to get paid, or how am I accomplish this, then it's almost like I don't see it. I think as Christians, sight is not the only way of seeing.
Mm.
And as Christians and church goers, we need to see things differently and start seeing by faith. And I had so much faith in God that he would deliver her a son. And because of that, she could leave it up to him.
Amen.
I think we need to follow the example of Hannah, that Hannah said, and I have so much faith in God that he will deliver us from our problems.
Amen.
And I strongly feel like if Hannah didn't get a son, she would have left feeling contented because she knew that God, this was not God's plan for her life.
Right.
So as we wrap up in verse 19, it means early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. So after worshiping, he said that the Lord remembered her. We may be doing everything that Hannah did. We pray, we leave it to God, but we still can't see the light of day. We sometimes feel like we're forgotten. I've been there. I'm here to tell you that God did not forget about you. Even though Hannah prayed and all, she still had to wait on God's timing.
Right.
Amen. He knows best.
Yep.
Amen. And so I urge you guys not to give up. Don't lose heart. But just persevere, because your day is coming. In the end, she had a son named Samuel, and it's really time to be to do great things for God.
Right.
Amen. Right? Now, I don't know what we're going through. I don't know what we're facing right now. But I do believe that Hannah gave us a formula of how to go about facing problems out of control.
Yes.
She was being provoked by her rival, but she took her problem to God and she left it there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
She had complete trust in God that He would deliver her, and God did. The good thing is that the same God that Hannah served, same God that we are serving.
That's right.
And so if Hannah did it, and so if He did it to Hannah, He can certainly do it for us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All we must do is take it to God in prayer, a complete trust in God, and watch Him work for our life. Thank you for listening.
Amen.